Hello and welcome to the Now Spinning Magazine podcast with me, Phil Aston. And in this episode, I'm delighted to have with me Ardo Tauonen, the lead vocalist with Finnish rock band Temple Balls. Ardo, thank you very much and welcome to the show. And you've got an album coming out on November the 10th, isn't it? Avalanche.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. This album is fantastic. Sometimes when I do these, I listen to the albums and I quickly make a list of what are my favorite tracks and kind of zone in on those songs. I found I was zoning in on 11 tracks.
Well, that's great thing to hear. I've been doing the same myself.
Well, that's interesting because obviously the amount of energy and passion in these songs, and this isn't your first album. I mean, as a band, you've been going since 2016. It sounds like you have the energy and passion of a band that's this is your first album, but it isn't. I mean, to be correct, actually,
we started as early as 2009, but
really?
we only released our debut album in 2017, I suppose.
2017.
Yeah.
So you've still got all that fire.
We're ever young, I suppose.
Well, that's the power of rock music, isn't it?
It keeps
us forever
Precisely.
Young.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm from a generation where I grew up in the 70s, where everything was UK based, and then in the 80s, it all seemed to go across the Atlantic to the USA with the kind of golden age of what was seen as like AOR and melodic metal and stuff. And then in the 90s, it kind of disappeared under the radar because of other things. And then the new generation of rock bands all seem to come from Scandinavia or Europe. And I'm thinking of bands like Heat, Eclipse, Tempt, WT, John Scott, Soto, Beast in Black, all these bands, and yourselves. What? I mean, rock music is huge in the area where you're from. Did it ever go out of fashion, or has it just always been there? And you've just tapped into something that was just there.
Well, I think that people have loved rock and heavy music like since the 70s, 80s, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Finland was like sort of a really remote country in a way for foreign bands to come from abroad. And, during the 50s, 60s, we had like Paul Anka and like Jimi Hendrix and Queen would play eventually in Finland as well. But you know, nobody knew about Finland, like anything about Finland. And it seemed like in the 80s, at least, it started to, Finland started to grow in a way that band wanted to, you know, come here to play to us in Helsinki and also in the northern parts of the country as well. So
yeah,
so it was sort of a turning point for like music industry in hard rock and heavy metal, at least during the 80s. So
yeah,
it never went out of fashion, I'd say. We only had like minor setbacks during the, I don't know, 90s, yeah, early 2000s. But then again, early 2000s, we had the Rasmus, Julian Bottom, and, you know, all sorts of rock and metal bands. Him, for example, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
of course, yeah.
Those were probably one of the, few of the big names, but you know, these days we've got like number of bands to come from Finland, and it's a huge advantage and a competition at the same time. So
of course that's very true.
Yeah.
Who are your vocal influences when you were growing up?
Oh, there's like tons of them, but to name a few, Robert Plant, Ian Gillan, then Freddie Mercury, obviously, Paul Stanley. I could say Ella Fitzgerald as well. I used to love to sing like jazz and blues stuff. Well, Marvin Gaye, for example, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And then, there's like the list goes on. But, you know, I like modern pop music as well. I like Lady Gaga's voice. It's amazing. Like, she has this awesome, like, raspy sound on some of her songs. And it's amazing to hear something like that in pop music as well. Miley Cyrus has a great rock voice as well.
I saw Lady Gaga do that duet with Mick Jagger on the song from the new.
I actually haven't listened to that. Like, I should maybe give it a spin tonight.
it's really, really good. Was there a specific album that inspired you to join a band? Was there where you thought this is what I want to do? If that's too hard,
I'd say a number of albums. I got a number of albums, but first time I kind of like decided that I want to be in a band was after probably after hearing Led Zeppelin 2 for the first time. It was probably the one that sparked it all up, and maybe some Deep Purple songs or albums as well. As well, I remember when we were kids, about like 7 or 8 years old, we used to scream out from my friend's window that Deep Purple song, Bloodsucker.
Bloodsucker,
you know, with the high parts in the chorus. We would scream that to the neighbors, and they would be, "What the fuck are these guys doing?"
Well, it must be then, like a dream come true, because you've actually supported bands like Deep Purple, haven't you? You've actually trod the boards with Ian Gillan. Yeah. I mean, what was that like? What was that like going out supporting bands? And you've also supported, obviously, the most recent lineup of Queen as well, and Uriah Heep.
Yeah. It was amazing experiences, like to share a stage with our, you know, childhood heroes and to get to meet some of the band and some of the members of those bands, and to be able to perform on such huge stages like we hadn't before, so it felt like totally a dream come true.
One of your first singles was Helen Feeling Fine, and that received a lot of airtime on your local radio stations in Finland. Was it good to feel that you were accepted quite quickly locally?
It was really, it grew really fast. Like our reputation through that, when we had that airtime, and also we went on the Spotify viral list with that song as well. So that like gave us a good start for the first album. It was really, really great, the reception and especially when we were so young, releasing the album. It felt so special.
Was the first album recorded in Thailand? Is that correct?
Yes.
How did that come about? How did you end up in Thailand from Finland to record your first album?
That was a sort of a joke for, you know, in the beginning, and then we realized that if we wanted to make this kind of music, we need a proper producer for that, and we sought out Tobias Lindell, who had produced Europe and Mustache and Heat before, and he lives in Thailand, so it felt like it was kind of natural to go there. We had like 2 weeks of almost 2 weeks in the studio, and it was like not that expensive when you compare it to the prices in Finland. So
that's interesting.
Basically all that was more expensive was the, you know, flights on top of that, like studio costs and all. But it was amazing, the studio and the staff there. It was really, really nice. And Tobias was an amazing person as well. And so, yeah, we combined a little vacation and the working part during those 11 days, I suppose, we stayed there.
But you obviously had to be quite disciplined because you had literally a small 2-week window to get it done and finished.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually, we worked long days then, and we've kept the same kind of attitude recording the future albums as well. So we stayed, I don't know, 10 to 12 hours per day. We played the songs and, you know, made the final arrangements and such. And then we had like a few hours to spend, you know, in the the countryside there where we stayed. And it was really nice scenery and nice polite people, the local people.
Well, in that kind of same area on planet Earth, you also, for the readers of the Japanese magazine Burn, you were basically seen as the second brightest hope in the world of rock and metal by readers from Japan. I mean, I know one of the greatest dreams of being in a band is having a Japanese audience or being big in Japan. All the live albums that we know about were recorded at the Budokan or Japan.
Yeah.
And here you are already being voted the second brightest hope. Was this moving really quickly for you at the time? I mean, it must have been, were your feet touching the ground even?
Yeah, it was kind of strange, you know, for five Finnish blokes like us. It was like, we stayed in the fancy hotel and the driver picked us up, you know, a black small limo with white gloves and all. It was like, what the hell is happening here? Then when we actually went to see the venue beforehand, like I don't know if it was like one day before or something, so there was a few of the fans were waiting there like already, and they gave us presents and all. We were like, what is this? it was crazy. And then it seemed like some of the people recognize us on the streets as well. Like there's millions of people and then just randomly bumping into our fans on the streets. It was like, you know, crazy, really crazy. And then when we went to give an interview to the Burn magazine and Masa Ito's TV show as well. And we were like so jet lagged and all. It was like really crazy. Like during that like 24-hour window, it was like we had it all. Like basically lived the rock and roll dream.
Wow. Your second album was called Untamed, and that received rave reviews as well over there. What did that kind of reception you were getting from Japan, did it in any way kind of steer you towards a specific sound or the direction you were going with your music, or were you just internally always chew about what you wanted to do?
I think we found the right path making music, like found the right recipe, I'd say, for combining the, you know, the like rock and roll, hard rock type of thing from the first album, and then we had more of that metallic melodic vibes on the Untamed, and then we proceeded there from there and mixed it up a little bit, got into the heavier gear maybe, and then
but Pyramide was the next one, wasn't it? And that was the first one with Frontiers Records.
Yeah
So the relationship with Frontiers, was that another obviously step up from where you were, where you'd been. Did that make a difference to how you approached that specific album? Because that was another. So all of these albums are great for those of you watching, listening to this, who are new to this band. They're all a progression, but each one is like, you can see how each one moves forwards. That's what I said at the start of the interview, how you keep all your excitement and passion like switched up to 11, because many bands would have kind of like pulled back thinking, well, we're sailing across a steady ocean now. Let's just keep doing what we're doing. But But yeah, your music has continued to go forwards. The one band, this is, if I try and word this properly, bands like Heat, this kind of style of melodic hard rock almost has pop sensibilities when you come to the chorus. The music is incredibly positive, and the choruses are almost like they are part of the rock song. But this is like, to me, why this style of rock is so valid and perhaps even would appeal to people that don't even think they like rock music at the moment. I mean, is there a kind of, you mentioned Lady Gaga, you've mentioned other influences. Does the rest of the band pull in influences outside of the traditional hard rock metal world?
Yeah, some do. But if you would ask that, would have asked that question from our bass player, Jimmy, he would say, like, I only listen to heavy metal. And that's it.
That's what I do.
He's like the most hardcore Priest fan there is.
Yes.
But that's great. Actually, we all love Judas Priest. We actually talked about that like just a few days back, how we are all like really digging Judas Priest material.
Yeah, the last track, Avalanche, the title track off the album, probably is the only one where I've made in my notes, I put, this one's got a bit of Priest in it.
True. Yeah.
I thought there's a little bit of Judas Priest in this one. And it's the heaviest track on the album. And it's a great track as well. So that's interesting that you say that. On the new album, if we look at that now, all the tracks to me are, I've put down in brackets, favorite. But if you push me into a corner and said, Phil, which one? It would have to be Trap.
You're not the only one. I suppose that the label in Finland or like the distributor in Finland, they loved Trap the most as well.
Well, it's got the traditional riff, great guitar riff, comes in over here, then the other one comes in with it. Then obviously you come in with a scream over the top, then all the drums come in. It's like, boom. But it also has a fantastic chorus, which is really catchy, really commercial, really uplifting. In fact, a lot of the music is very anthemic, very kind of like positive. I mean, all of us, wherever you are in the world, have been through some pretty dark times with what's going on the news and obviously the pandemic. Is there a feel within the band that what you're writing is kind of a positive feel in your music? Because it certainly comes across that way.
I think it has something to do with the producer. He comes from Sweden and we come from Finland. So we bring the, you know, grimness, and he brings the uplifting stuff. If I may say that, but it's always been like that. We make rock music because we love rock music, and I hope it like channels through it. Like, even if the lyrics might be a little bit darker, but there's also like sort of a hopeful theme in every song, even though it might be like for example, Kill the Voice is pretty dark song from Pyramide. From Untamed. But it still has that, you know, like hopeful outcome eventually.
Well, all of these do. Like, I've got Stand Up and Fight's one of my favorite, Prisoner in Time, Strike Like a Cobra. They've all got great chord sequences and wonderful vocals. I mean, for you personally, when you write, you're writing the lyrics, where do you get your influence from? Is it what's going on around you, or is it personal experience? Are they part autobiographical, or does it vary?
For me, it's usually about, I get influences from books, for example, books or movies, TV series. And then like personal experiences. I think it's pretty much the same for every one of us, and every one of us almost all of us write lyrics as well. So this latest album was actually like really like combined out of our like all of our effort is in the lyrics. So
And were you all together when you wrote and recorded the music, or was it, or were you kind of in separate places, or?
Separate places, yeah. Actually, this was like really different this time. We used like, I don't know, three or four different studios. And we kind of had different kind of schedule, and had this, you know, COVID was still happening, like restriction wise. It was at some time it was really hard to arrange, and also we had this these health issues in the band as well, so we had to postpone the recordings. And then when we got back in the saddle, we like decided to you know, move a little bit slower, or like get the job done, but then again we had so much more time, like it's hard to explain. We could record from home some of the parts, and then we could arrange a pre-production session here and there and just finish the songs later. And so we usually book a studio for for about 3 weeks or so, and then just hit there and record everything at once. But this time was like really loose the schedule. Like we could, if we weren't happy with the, you know, results on some track, we could do it again and again and again. So we were not in that much pressure, you know, yeah, recording. Yeah. So it might affect the sound positively.
Yeah. I mean, also that you were saying at the start how long the band's been going, which is a lot longer than a lot of people. Start that question again, is that a lot of people will be new to you, even though this is not your first album and you've been going such a long time. But even in the time that you started, which is in, what was it, 2000s? Did you say 6, 7 around that time?
Nine.
Yeah. The world of music has changed a lot, in that we've kind of swept from CD more to vinyl. So that, and that's kind of like, so when you came up with the 11 songs, did you have more to choose from? Are the songs waiting as bonus tracks somewhere in the background, or didn't quite make it to this album?
Oh, yeah, I think we had about close to 40 demos.
40 demos. Picked.
Yeah. And we picked like, 15 of those, and then eventually 11 of those ended up being on the album. So we make new songs all the time, but then again, if we get stuck somewhere, we could use some of the previous demos. If they didn't sound that good on the previous album, maybe they would like fit the next album, or we just might take some parts out like from here and there. So it's good to have some backup.
Yeah, and I guess things. That's kind of a bonus from where like a band like Uriah Heep, you supported back in their day, they were doing two albums a year when they probably had nothing to draw upon, whereas you've technically got at least 30 songs sitting there that you could revisit for your next album. Or even kind of take bits out of those and plot them together and create something else.
Yeah, we still have like a couple of songs which were supposed to be on the Untamed, and we haven't like, you know, finished those, and we're still sitting on those. So maybe they end up being on the album in the future.
Yeah.
You never know.
Has there also the thing that's changed with being in a band and promoting music, of course, is the way that you do market yourselves. I mean, I've noticed you've got you're on Instagram, you're on Facebook, you've even got your own Facebook page for Japan as well, I think. You've got two Facebook pages, and plus what's the importance? Are you all involved in promoting yourselves on social media, or does someone else who's do that for you?
It's us like basically usually it's me or maybe Nico or Jimmy who are doing the social media stuff.
Yeah.
But then again, we also actually have TikTok, and Iri is doing that. So it's like, we all got our fingers on the platforms.
Yeah, yeah, brilliant. And have you recorded any concerts over the time you've been together? Is there kind of a potential live album sitting in the background?
Yeah, we got this rehearsal session where we recorded things live but other than that, we don't have any plans at the moment, at least. But who knows? Maybe we'll have some material out of the upcoming, album release tour.
Well, the album Avalanche comes out on November the 10th, and it's I guess it's coming out on CD and vinyl on.
Yeah, both
formats. And do you have any plans to? Are you setting up a tour for 2024 to push the album?
Yeah, we got Finnish dates, a few of them coming up, starting from the later part of January, and then hopefully we can share more details about the rest of the world.
Yeah,
but right at the moment I cannot.
Much. No, because these things are always in a flux, aren't they? I guess.
Yeah. It's always behind secret doors.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully you'll go out on tour with somebody, and maybe there's some festival dates as well, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, yeah.
I read somewhere that you also listen to bands like Opeth. Is that?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I do. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big like prog fan as well. So I really love Opeth, and I also love all sorts of stuff. I could easily listen to. For example, last summer I went to see Gojira for the first time. It was really amazing. I loved the show and loved the songs as well.
And the guitar player is a brilliant guitarist in the band.
True.
Which is the guy that plays the Van Halen guitar, the Eddie Van Halen, the stripy red and black guitar.
In Gojira?
Yeah. No, in your band.
In our band? Oh, yeah. Giri.
Yeah, Giri, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, obviously he's putting his colors to the mast there. He's obviously an Eddie Van Halen fan.
Yeah, he is totally one of the biggest Eddie Van Halen fans in the world.
In the world.
In the world, yeah. He might have that. Have you seen the meme? Might as well jump. I think he has that, that bathroom or the toilet seat.
both guitarists work so well together. Listening to the album, the whole thing is sequenced very well together as well. Were you all involved with, obviously the songs are all written at different times and finished at different times. Did you all sit down together and decide what was going to be track 1, 2, 3, 4?
We kind of listened to them through and then suggested the order. And then actually we shared, mutual feelings about the order. Like only just a few of the tracks were like, hey, let's swap those and it's good.
And although you can't tell me much about your tour plans, you obviously are thinking about how you're going to put together a future set. And are you already looking at how many of these tracks are going to make it onto the live set? I mean, or are you going to play the whole thing from beginning to end with a few of your favorites tagged on the end?
It really depends on the set we're playing. You know, for example, at the festivals, it's usually a little bit, shorter set maybe, and on the support spots as well. So if we get like headline dates, then we could do 1.5 hours maybe, and then we might have like almost every track from the latest. But we still love to keep, the old and gold ones, for example, there's a couple of tracks which we have played like on pretty much every show since we started. For example, Hell and Feeling Fine and Let's Get It On from the first album. I think we haven't missed those like ever. So we might have a couple of those on the set as well, but hopefully as much new stuff as possible.
I guess one of the great things about being in a band now is, of course, you don't have to just play a gig and and all talk to each other afterwards and say, well, that one went down well. Maybe we should do that one again. You can look at analytics across Spotify and YouTube and think, well, that track is really taking off. Yeah. That track is really capturing the imagination of our fans. So it needs to be in the set.
We've done that. Usually we try out all of the songs and then decide if we like to play them live or like if it works well, like play it live as well. And then if people don't seem to get into the groove, you know, when we the first couple of times when we played, then we might end up ditching that song and choosing something else instead.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Ardé, for being with me today. And everybody, the album Avalanche by Temple Balls comes out on November the 10th. Is it on Frontiers Records, is it?
Is it? It is.
Yeah, it is. And if people want to find out more about you, what you're doing, it's templeballsrocks.com. But you're also on Facebook at Temple Balls Rocks, /forward from Facebook. And you're also TikTok and Instagram. In fact, you're everywhere.
Yeah, basically everywhere, yeah.
And the album can be pre-ordered directly from the website, or is there any specific place you'd like people to go?
There's the Frontier Shop has the CD and LP as a pre-order, and then you can pre-save it as well on if you're using streaming platforms. And then there is this awesome Finnish music store called recordshopx.com.
Order it
worldwide from there.
Okay.
Worldwide shipping, I mean.
And are there any signed copies or extras or things?
Probably, yeah. Something will end up being on our in our merch store, templeballsmerch.com.
Okay.
So some of the items might be signed later on. We actually still have signed Pyramide vinyls there.
Oh.
And a t-shirt combo. So go grab yours from there, and I hope that we can get signed copies of the Avalanche as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. That's Ardé Toanen from the band Temple Balls, and the album is called Avalanche, November the 10th on Frontier Records. As I said at the start of this, I absolutely love it. I think there's been some great rock bands coming forward at the moment, and you're right in amongst the front of that, charging away across the landscape of rock music. And it's also wonderful to know that it's live and kicking. For people like me, and there's lots of YouTube channels similar to me who just think, oh, well, it's not like it was and blah, blah, blah. Mm. People don't realize there are rock bands like yourselves hiding in plain sight, you know, doing absolutely fantastic stuff. Great song, absolutely really positive music. And this is a wonderful album. And if you're not sure, go and listen to Trap on YouTube. It's fantastic.
I said you do the same.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Alan. And hopefully I'll talk to you again. And of course, keep me informed what's going on with the tour and
sure.
Look forward to the album coming out and getting a physical copy. So thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Bye. Thank you.
A big thank you to my guest, Ardé Toanen from the band Temple Balls, whose album Avalanche is out on November the 10th on Frontier Records. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the podcast and visit the website at nowspinning.co.uk. And of course, YouTube channel. You can become a member or patron and get to see all of our broadcasts and podcasts and videos before anyone else. So remember, music is the healer and the doctor. Please take care, everyone. Keep spinning those discs, and I shall see you very, very soon.